As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Went to a Christmas show. Look at the crowd. I think I was the only.
Man, people act like they've never seen a Christmas tree before.
Christmas tree in attendance.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, December 6th. I'm J.E. Skeets. And alongside me today, we got the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Caught you by surprise there, didn't I? We also got my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And of course, last, certainly not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Yes, no Tassie today, but don't you worry. He will be back on tomorrow's show. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live here on YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe and like and comment and share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at No Dunks Inc. Lots of good stuff going on at the TikToks over at the No Dunks account. And to set up the week for everyone here on a Monday morning, we got No Dunks Daily, Monday through Friday, live at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube. And we flip that into a podcast. On Tuesday, Trey, we got a brand new No Breaks F1 podcast coming at you. That race was so wild yesterday, and the driver's standings are so damn close that TK and Graydon, they can't wait to talk about it. So this is like a surprise No Breaks tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. Is that the play here, Trey?
100%, Skeets. Unprecedented times in the Formula One world. For the first time ever, two drivers are tied going into the last race. So it literally comes down to Sunday who wins the championship. Verstappen and Hamilton tied up top. And as we saw yesterday, so much drama between these two. Oh, a brake check in Formula One? What is this? I-85? Oh! Tune in tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a supercharged edition, which means it'll be a little bit shorter because we got stuff to do tomorrow.
Okay, I love it. So Trey Kirby, Graydon Gordian, talking about the race from this past weekend, looking ahead to the final race, like he said, on Sunday. 2 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube, right here in the No Dunks YouTube feed, and of course, into our podcast feeds as well. On Wednesday, just keep your eyes peeled for a new Top Shot Hot Boys, all right? TK and I have some packs we got to rip. We got some momes we got to give away. So we'll let you know as we get a little closer to Wednesday what time we're thinking about doing that stream. And then on Thursday, we'll have the penultimate episode of No Buffs, our Survivor podcast that has its own YouTube, Apple, and Spotify feeds. And we're also trying to figure out the timing on that one. Is that right, JD? Because you're going to be Mr. Mom here for the next couple of weeks, because I know Rachel is headed home to Canada earlier than you. So we'll have to figure out the schedule with No Buffs.
Single dad mode over here, so there's going to be a lot of juggling. Schedule is packed. You should see my schedule. My Google schedule is completely, it's multicolored. It's a mess, really. So, I don't know what we're going to do.
We'll figure it out. There will be a No Buffs, don't you worry, with Jason Concepcion later this week. Okay, but it's Monday here, Lili. We got winners and losers of the NBA weekend, so lots to talk about. Trey, why don't you get us started here this morning with your winner of the weekend? I know we have a couple each, but who do you have first?
Yeah, my winners of the weekend are two teams on very surprising win streaks. We've got the Grizzlies. They beat the Mavs on Saturday night. That was their fourth straight win. All of them without Ja Morant. That's impressive. But we've also got the Rockets, the Houston Rockets, who won on Friday and Sunday to push their win streak to a currently NBA best six games. The Houston Rockets. Let's start with them. According to Elias, they're the first team to win six straight games immediately after a losing streak of 15 or more. And honestly, I wish Tass was here because Eric Gordon came up clutch on Friday. Longtime listeners will remember that Eric Gordon once led the league in fourth quarter scoring early in his career for the Los Angeles Clippers. It's one of those stats that just happened to come up so many times during the season. He only had 4 points in the fourth quarter of Houston's win on Friday night, but it was the most important four. He put the Rockets up with a jumper about 30 seconds left. The Magic came back, got a Mo Bamba dunk to tie it up. Then Eric Gordon hit the game-winning floater with a second left. That's a guy that people should be looking at as a potential trade candidate coming up to the trade deadline here in February. Garrison Matthews was also huge in this one. 16 points, two massive dunks off steals. He had 10 points in the fourth quarter. Three threes, including a four-point play where he made the free throw. Hate to say it, he's got that Grayson Allen swag out there. Got a new tattoo, got a new haircut. He's looking tough. On Sunday, the Rockets beat the Pelicans for their sixth straight win, and this one was all about Christian Wood. 23 points for Wood. He hit five threes. He's turned it around a little bit after a slow and kind of soft start. Playing a little bit better. Eric Gordon, another good game. 23 points, three threes. And my boy Garrison Matthews came up clutch again. 13 points, four threes. And I'm not joking. The announcers were calling him Gary Bird during this game. What a line, Gary Bird. Very funny. Six straight wins, though, for the Rockets. And the key has been three-point shooting. They've made 15 or more threes in all six of these wins. They've only done that nine times all season. 7-2 in those games. Math. It gives you a chance. Rockets, huge winners for the weekend. As for the Grizzlies, not as much to say. They beat the Mavs on Sunday. No Doncic, no Porzingis.
Yep.
But no Ja for the Grizz. Did not matter. Grizzlies held the Mavs to 33% shooting from the floor. Desmond Bane went for a career-high 29 points. He hit four threes, and I think he hit the same layup, pump faking from the corner and driving into the middle of the lane. He must have made that at least four times as well. Career high, nine boards. He's been awesome with Ja Morant out of the lineup. And so have the Grizzlies. Four straight wins. They haven't trailed yet in these four wins. That's the amazing thing. According to Elias, I was calling him up all weekend.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Elias, I got a speed dial. Stat for me? Yeah, exactly. Memphis, the first team in 25 seasons of the statistic being tracked to lead at least four consecutive games without even being tied after 0-0. That's wild.
Crazy.
Stuff.
Yeah.
They're up to 13-10, fourth in the West. They got a nice little homestand coming up. They play in Miami tonight. Then it's Dallas, the Lakers, the Rockets, and the 76ers. Rockets versus Grizzlies? This could be the biggest game in the next 2 weeks. Let's hope these streaks stay up. Both of these teams straight up thriving right now.
This is insane, Lee. I mean, I just realized when Trey was breaking that down, his two winners of the weekend being the Rockets and Grizzlies, we could have made this a what you got. Like, what's the crazier win streak? The Grizzlies without Ja Morant and never trailing? Or the Rockets after losing 15 straight, winning six consecutive games, and at least one of those wearing those weird Houston Rockets throwback pajamas. That was the Eric Gordon game winner. I believe they were rocking those. Yeah, which one? Which one would you pick?
Well, I have to go with the Rockets because their season was just in the tank. Remember, Stephen Silas was basically like, there was speculation that he might even get fired.
Yeah.
It was like,
I'm so happy they're winning these games for him, if anyway.
Now, again, there's a lot of teams, you know, in the schedule, you're like, okay, they should win this, they should win that. But the Rockets to put strung together six straight is incredibly unlikely. Christian Wood was even doing the Michael Jordan six like that, six in a row. So that's just how crazy things are going. But yeah, for that crowd in Houston yesterday, there was nobody there as well. So, you know, I think the locals had basically given up on this team. So it's good to see them actually getting win. But the Memphis Grizzlies to do this without Ja Morant, what is actually even more shocking, they had the worst defense in the league when Jar was on that team. Right now, they have, in these last four games alone, the best defense rating by a mile in the league right now. It's 90 points, according to NBA.com here. So, you know, and they're not just doing it without Jar Morant. Kyle Anderson was also missing against the Mavericks there. So this is very, very unlikely to see. I thought the Grizzlies' season might almost just fall in the tank when Jar went down. Instead, they've actually really solidified their defense. They've improved by 25 points in the defensive rating category, which is just incredible. So great to see there for the Grizzlies. And, you know, no Doncic, no Porzingis. Still, you've got to go out there and just compete. And these are the sort of games a team like the Grizzlies need to win while Jar is out. When he comes back, you know, he's their best player. He's so impactful. Now, you know, you can look at the defensive numbers and think, what's the problem there? But obviously, they need Jar back as quickly as possible. So this has been great for them, great for Taylor Jenkins as well, because I don't think he was on the hot seat, but they needed to improve drastically, and so they've shown some remarkable improvement on those on the defensive end there. I think that's great, but just crazy to see these two teams. You know, the hottest team in the league right now is the Houston Rockets. That is just unbelievable.
This sort of feels like stuff that happens in March, Trey.
Yes. Right.
In the dog days of the NBA season. You know, we're still early here, early December, for these weird teams that, like, were struggling or lose a star player, and then they rip off these win streaks. It's just, I'm all discombobulated.
Yeah, exactly right, Skeets. Eventually, it feels like most teams hit a hot streak, and it usually comes when teams have sort of given up on the season. I see people in the stream team are mentioning the comp that the Rockets have played. They beat the Hornets, they beat the Thunder twice, they beat the Magic, the Pelicans.
Yeah,
not the greatest team, but still, they were the worst team. They had won or lost 15 straight, and now suddenly they can't lose. Jayshon Tate also has, like, a horseshoe up his ass. This guy's making the craziest, like, layups that I've ever seen. He's not even looking at the hoop when he's throwing it in, but they're going to keep it rolling here. They got the Rockets' next game is against the Nets on Wednesday. W for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Make it seven.
Throw up your seven. Michael Jordan could never even do that.
Exactly.
Throw it up, Wood. Once you shock the world. You brought up Porzingis there. Both of you guys not playing in that one game against the Grizzlies, I guess it was. Lee, did you see my tweet this morning? I just wanted to know if you hacked into the NBA YouTube account and titled this video that says Kristaps Porzingis in quotes beautiful plays this season. What the fuck was going on here? Did you do this, Lee? I mean, this is how you talk.
Yeah.
And they, like, quoted you, I thought.
You know, I didn't do it, but I think it just proves I'm an influencer, Skeety, that, you know, the beautiful players, beautiful shooters of the basketball, it's starting to become part of the vernacular of the NBA world. So I'm going to take full credit for that. I think it's right. Unusual, though, for a guy who's been missing for a couple of games get a video of beautiful plays.
Yeah, I would agree. Also, you know, like, I mean, why do they call it huge plays in the thumbnail, but beautiful plays in the write-up?
I mean, John Collins had a huge dunk again last night, and that's kind of what we've seen from him throughout the season. So there was a compilation of those.
Yeah,
makes a bit more sense. KP on a bit of a losing streak from the Mavs not playing. Unusual, but content is key.
The poor editor going, I just cut together all these beautiful plays. What are we doing with these? He's injured. Yeah, just post it. Just no one's going to really care. Okay, Lee, keep us going, man. Who do you have for a winner of the weekend?
Well, it's got to be DeMar DeRozan specifically, but the Chicago Bulls leave New York with a couple of wins. And I think Saturday night was their more impressive victory than it was against the New York Knicks, because they came back. And DeMar DeRozan again. Now, we don't have a masterclass ad read, I don't think, today, but he should put it up. I think I've used that joke before, but I'm going to rework it a little bit here.
Sure.
Because that fourth quarter was just incredible from DeMar again. And I'm going to get into a little bit more here, but not only was he making the big shots, he sized up Kevin Durant at one point, ran straight at him, hit it in his face, got to his spots, did that, led from the front. But also on the key game sealing play, you saw how leadership really takes over. DeRozan could have easily taken that last shot. Instead, he drives inside. The gravity of what he's done in fourth quarters this season and on that night meant that the defense basically collapsed from the Nets on him, and he passed it out to Lonzo Ball, who has not been shooting the ball well, particularly from three, and Lonzo Ball hit that huge moment. One of those situations where DeRozan really, he's talked about trusting his teammates and, you know, like how we're all on the same page. But in that key moment, it's like, do you actually trust your teammate? And he did. And you saw Lonzo Ball, he's a stoic guy. He doesn't smile a lot. He's not very emotive. My God, Lonzo Ball, is like he hit the championship winning shot there. He was so happy that he took it. He got that play. He got that moment and then knocked it down. And I think that just shows to me, you know, team building and chemistry and all those things and leadership from DeRozan, who you would not have faulted him if he'd taken that last shot, but instead he makes the right play. And I'm digging a little bit deeper as well, because he's been a huge talking point of the fourth quarter this season. Well, the numbers here back it up. He leads the league in points per game in the fourth quarter and in total points, 178 points, 53% from the field, 45% from three, which is actually, for him, pretty good. He's only taken 11 threes. I mean, that's good for anyone, I should say.
Yeah.
But that's not his strength there. 90% from the free throw line.
That's his strength.
that is absolutely his strength. But also then the plus 69 in total in fourth quarters. Now, there's other guys ahead of him, Bogdanovic, Steph Curry, in terms of the plus minus. But in terms of the actual game in, game out, DeRozan is leading the league in that category. And again, you saw it. I don't know. Obviously, Trey saw the game there on Saturday night. But, you know, this was another tight, close game. And DeRozan was a difference. Zach LaVine had a really good game. In fact, he had a late step back as well. But you kind of forget about everything he did. I think he finished with 31 points because DeRozan in that fourth quarter was just unbelievable. He went at Kevin Durant as well. I talked about the little pull-up he had there. He drove inside, got the and one against him as well. And the Nets and Steve Nash were kind of like, okay, what are we going to do here? How are we going to stop this guy? And it doesn't matter when you've got a guy like DeRozan playing the way he has, closing out games. Great stuff for Chicago. And I think the Bucks are the best team in the East. And I think by virtue of the fact Kevin Durant is on the Nets are the second best. But I think quite clearly now the Bulls are the third best team, which they probably should be higher. But I just think those other two teams are still fractionally higher than them. But incredible weekend there for Chicago.
Yeah, to bring it back to YouTube for a second, I see Sam here in the stream team. DeMar DeRozan. KOT4Q. He's the king of the fourth quarter. Shout out to Kenny Beecham. Maybe DeRozan will have to buy that off Kenny. Make some coin there, because he has been amazing. I think still even Zach LaVine has been great in a lot of these games too. They have figured out a way to understand when to take over down the stretch without like being a ball hog. You know, it's like they just have like this weird sense right now of like, you've got a mismatch, you go to work, you know, or I'll go to work. Like, it's a great balance right now. And top three, Lily is saying here, Trey. I know you're. I saw you smiling in the background. We were on Lee's ISO
music
cam
to
there,
my ears.
But you were loving it. Yeah, they look great.
Look, obviously, I'm a homer. No doubt about that. I've been saying the Bulls are back since they weren't back. But at this point, like, you hear it on every single podcast, and I am like having to check myself. Like, how deluded am I to think that the Bulls are a top three team in the Eastern Conference? But Lee Ellis said it. Wait, hold up. Lee Ellis said it, so it must be true. I had two questions coming into this. Number one, the Bulls are a top what team in the East? Because I agree, the Bucks are going to be better at the end of the season. They're banged up right now. I do think the Nets are better, but the Bulls have beat them twice. Miami's banged up. Philly's been really up and down. So at the very least, I think they're a top four team. And I think it's quite reasonable for them to expect to have home court advantage in the first round. My other question was going to be, how many duos in the league right now are better than LaVine and DeRozan? I think they've been over 20 points per game, the most of any duo so far this season. They've got two options in the fourth quarter when it really comes down to it. DeRozan, I feel like his getting to the line has kind of rubbed off on LaVine a little bit here. LaVine shot 13 free throws against the Nets. That was huge. So best duos, Steph and Draymond, the best duo in the league by far. Chris Paul and Devin Booker, if they're both healthy, I think you would probably take them. LeBron and AD, playoffs only, to be quite honest, but fair enough. KD and Harden, two MVPs. Yeah. Giannis and another guy. You have your choice of two other stars there. And then Mitchell and Gobert, I think, are probably right there with LaVine and DeRozan. But that's a top 10 duo. They've got a good defense, and they've figured out how to close right now. Bulls are looking good. It's early. But I got tickets over the weekend. I'll see you December 26th for a revenge game against the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, ooh, wow. Yeah, you'll be home in the Chicago area, so
that's
you'll be
right.
Going to the game? Okay, what are we talking? How much are Bulls tickets going for nowadays? You got the hookup. Somebody better have hooked you up.
No, I'm going with some bros. Going with a big collection of bros. 8 bros. The bros are back, so we're sitting 300 level and just raging. 117
nice.
Apiece.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, geez.
Yeah.
Hey, that arena's like, it's like vertical. Like, it feels like you're on top of the action.
Yeah.
It feels
I'm
like you're gonna fall
over.
Sure.
It.
Yeah. Don't spill over the railing there. Okay, so the Bulls are back. You know, that's a great one. I thought the other question you were gonna ask, Trey, maybe it's a little premature, but like, DeMar DeRozan, he's gonna be starting the All-Star game, right? And, I mean, if you made all NBA teams right now, he might be the first team All NBA. Like, I think it's very early for All NBA, but All Star Lee, like,
yes,
I think so.
He's definitely going to be in the All Star game. I'm not sure he's that sort of most popular guy to get the fan vote to start. I would say. I mean, he's obviously
he plays
in Chicago.
For the Bulls, though. Everybody's a Bulls fan.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly gives him a bump. But, you know, I feel he's one of those guys that just maybe doesn't get quite that same adulation from the fans because we know that that is more like Giannis.
Right, so is he going to get more votes than Luka, even though he's having a better season than Luka?
Right.
Like,
probably
Curry's
not.
A lock. Curry's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got all of Canada voting for him because they still love him. He's got the big market in Chicago.
Mm.
And I think there is a part of this where he does feel like, the Bulls, I should say, are like everybody's second favorite team right now. Like a lot of people's second favorite team. It's cool to see them.
DeRozan a forward or a guard? Are we listing him out? I mean,
oh, wow. I always forget about that. Yeah, that's
nice.
A great point.
Because
nice.
That forward.
I was thinking guard.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a front court, Giannis and Kevin Durant. Well, I mean, it's 3 front court, isn't it? You don't need a center, so he could slip in there.
No, that's true.
And in the back court, I mean, who would you have? I mean, Harden probably gets in, I suppose.
Curry and Levine, Curry and Caruso, take your choice.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm talking East All-Stars.
He's going to be in the game for sure, and he's going to be an All-NBA player if he obviously doesn't get injured. It's just like where he's going to fall. Is he going to be starting, or is he going to be first, second, or third team? Because he has been incredible, and it's fun to watch. As a longtime Raptors fan that loved DeRozan for a long time, and of course, you know, they make the move and get quiet, and it works out for really sort of everyone in the end right now. I'm rooting for him. I'm cheering him on. Like, I would love to see him start the All-Star game or be first team and see the Bulls. Like, I still am convinced, Trey, we are getting Bulls versus Heat, Lowry versus DeRozan in some sort of playoff matchup. You know, is it first round, 4-5? Is it a second round? I think it's going to happen. It's inevitable, if you ask me.
Honestly, it makes me a little nervous because I remember how much Jimmy Butler used to kill DeMar DeRozan when the tables were turned, but not this year. The Bulls are back.
All right. So, Bulls, winner of the weekend. Love to see it. I'll keep us going here as we wrap up our winners, and then we'll take our first break and get to losers because we got a lot to talk about when it comes to losers of the weekend. But winner of the weekend to the Jazz-Cavs game on a Sunday afternoon. Only 4 games on yesterday. NBA's all afraid of the NFL. I get it. A lot of people like their football, but it was one of those rare sort of Sunday afternoon games, Lee, and I tweeted it out. I don't know if you saw me. I was like, I was watching it because that was the only game on at the time, and I was just kicking it at home, and I'm like, Cavs got back into this game in a hurry. It's tied at 97. There's a lot of time left, 8 minutes to go if you're into that sort of thing. I hope you were into that sort of thing because it was a really entertaining game. The Cavaliers play a lot of fun games. Now, they lose this one. Jazz pull it out. But they are always there. They are a scrappy bunch. I know Tass would be talking for about 10 minutes straight about those scrappy Cleveland Cavaliers and the way they play. And it makes sense because it was so much fun. I think there is a compilation on NBA's YouTube page if you want to go watch like the final 4 minutes or so. I would encourage you to watch a little bit more than that if you can. Fire it up on your League Pass or something like that. But just big play after big play. And it was so cool, like, these just giant dudes out there, Lee, blocking shots left and right. Obviously, Rudy Gobert was huge, instrumental in the Jazz win with rebounds, which we'll show you in a second, and blocks, and a big dunk, actually, to put them up late. And then you could say the same about the Cavs and, like, what Jared Allen was doing inside. And Mobley had a huge, like, help defense block. I think it was on Mitchell attacking inside. I can't remember. Was it Mitchell or Conley? There's just a lot of like fun defense being played down the stretch here, and it was really good. I don't know if you caught that game on Sunday.
I caught the last quarter of that game because it looked like the Jazz were just going to cruise along to a comfortable win, and it was Darius Garland as well. Hit some huge threes. Hit that one that basically came down with snow on it, and it was one I was pulling for the Cavs for sure. I was like, pull this one out. This would be a great victory for them because, you know, they've been good, and then they've sort of dropped off, and then they come back again. It's like, get a good quality comeback win against a good quality team, but they just fell short. In fact, on that last play, Garland kind of got a little bit lost on it and sort of slipped, and that was it, unfortunately, because it would have been a great victory for them. But yeah, the interesting thing, and someone tweeted as well, Rudy Gobert had a play where if you're a defensive sicko, watch how much ground he covers and how many people he sort of affects by his movement, because sometimes he gets caught on the perimeter. He's a big, tall, gangly guy, but he was all over the place there late, saved the ball, and I think it was Mitchell who came down and scored on the other end for them. A huge, huge play in this game that if the Cavaliers had scored, you know, maybe that's one of those ones that in fact actually does tilt the game back into Cleveland's way. But yeah, this was a fun last quarter afternoon game on a Sunday, because the other games weren't all that great. But yeah, for the Cavs, it's hard to not have that good feeling about this team, because they play hard. They've got some unusual guys. They're getting at least one All-Star. There's no question in my mind just who that player is, whether it's Jared Allen or Garland. I don't think they both get in. But yeah, really fun stuff. And felt bad in the end for Darius Garland. He played such a great game, 31 points, but just at the end couldn't quite finish it off.
Yeah, he missed a potential game winner with like 3 seconds to go, but it was like a 30-foot prayer. It actually almost dropped. It wasn't that far off. But he initially had drove inside, like you were saying, Lee, and he sort of slipped. He sort of stumbled. He also is, you know, he might be as light as I am, so you can sort of, he got bumped a little bit too, and I think that had an effect on him. They sort of reset, and then he had to put up the prayer on Conley, but it didn't drop. But fun game. I guess Jared Allen almost tipped it home too off the miss from Garland. It is a fun game. Before we go to TK, maybe I could have the honor here on a Monday, if you don't mind, Trey, because we talked about Rudy Gobert, 15 points. He had 5 blocks, some of them key down the stretch, and he also had 20 rebounds. So JD, roll that beautiful B footage.
Rudy Gobert had 20 rebounds. Good grief. That's a big beef. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
Oh my God, there was blocks in there, TK. What's going on? We're missing some beefs.
Yeah, you know, I like to include those for Rudy Gobert. I don't know if he leads the league in block shots where he then grabs the rebound, a beef Russell, if you will, but he's great at it. 20 rebounds, that's his 5th big beef of the season. He's leading the league in rebounding right now, and he's also shooting 73% from the field. Rudy Gobert is. That's hilarious. I mean, he's only taking dunks, but that's still like almost 10% from his career high. I would watch Rudy Gobert versus Jarrett Allen one-on-one at the All-Star game.
Wow.
It would be weird to watch, but it would be fun, I think, for, you know, up to 5 maybe. It might take a while, but
yeah,
I'd love to see him spinning and winning down there.
Wasn't his 20th rebound, the big beef rebound, the one that was an offensive board that he then, you know, took basically right back at Jared Allen and dunked it on his head with his left hand? I think that was his 20th rebound. I remember watching it live, getting all excited, going, oh yeah, we're going to see that in Monday's show. I mean, what a game.
Yeah, 100% was. Unfortunately, my beef supplier cuts it off at the rebound. So, like, I saw Rudy going to him, but then it paused it on him. Yeah, so, you know, aged beef. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
I just love the Easter eggs when we look at those beefs, like the block rebound. It's like, oh, that they counted that as a rebound as well?
Yeah, you know? I was actually thinking until you said it, and I was watching that clip, like, why are you showing us blocks? And then I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, that is a block rebound. Right?
Because it's a shot. It is a shot attempt from the player. So if you block it and grab the rebound, you get 2 stats for 1, a special 2 stats for 1 special there.
So, okay, hold on. Well, answer this question. You know, you rebound sicko. If Lee attacked me and I'm playing defense and I block Lee's shot, but it goes to you, Trey, and you're on my team, do you get the rebound and I just get the block? Or is it not a rebound then in that
My guess is that you would get the block and I would get the rebound.
How?
Yeah, because... But that's weird. Does okay, some beef hypotheticals here. Let's imagine that we're all playing together. Skeets, you go up for a shot. I block it. Lee is on your team. He gets the rebound off the block. Is that an offensive rebound?
I don't know the answer to this. I'm not proud to say I don't know.
Yeah, same. Yeah. We got to get Beef Borgia on here to really talk us through the ins and outs of all these different hypotheticals.
Good comment here from Vinny Rex. LOL, my wife on the phone just now referred to me as currently watching his Beef morning show.
Welcome to the Beef Morning Show, where all we talk about is
rebounds. I actually had, on the way to drop the girls off at school this morning, Ada said to me, "Dad, you don't say that's a lot of roast beef anymore." I could not believe she called me out on that. I was like, "Actually, Ada, I say it a lot. You just have to go to school now, so I record my beefs after you're already there. But don't worry. There's players beefing every single night. Have no fear."
The Beef Morning Show sounds like a similar idea to when I was in Guatemala with my buddy Grish, and we came up with the hit podcast series or television show Looking for Lava, where we just look at volcanoes.
The Beef Morning Show. And Looking for Lava at 6:30 and 7 Eastern.
That's right. Again, a great game between the Jazz and the Cavs. And awesome young core here that the Cavs have. I think we could all agree. In Garland, in Evan Mobley, and then in Jared Allen. And the Jazz trio of Gobert, Mitchell, and Conley, I mean, they are proving that they are just as good as they were last year as well. It's a different trio than what the Cavs have going, because as much as we're talking about Rudy Gobert here, and rightfully so, especially when you watch the final couple of minutes and just the impact he had defensively, they just don't win this game without Donovan Mitchell. And I think this guy, I know I do it, he just gets overlooked. And I'm sure a part of it is the Jazz sort of flaming out in some of the postseasons, him being in Utah, you know, I get all that. But like, Lee, like, this guy goes for 35. And in the fourth quarter, I mean, good luck Ricky Rubio stopping Donovan Mitchell. Like, you better help. You better hope the help defense was coming there, because he would just blow by him. He just is like, I just don't sometimes think, again, this is me saying this, that I know I'm guilty of it. I don't think we include him sometimes at a guy that's basically like a 24, 25 point per game scorer, what feels like his entire career, in the same vein as some of these other two guards. I don't know. I think the reasons I came up with are probably why, but I don't know if you're guilty of it as well, Lee.
Yeah, no, but I think as well it is that sort of Utah, the recent couple of seasons, that he has been great in the regular season. He's had some great playoff moments as well, but they have kind of flamed out. So I think with Utah, we just kind of overlook them. We know they're going to be a great regular season team, and they are, again, proving that. But we just want to see them not flame out. I mean, the last two seasons, they've had a 3-1 lead and lost, and they've had a 2-0 lead while the other team's also lost its best player and then also flamed out. So that just sort of becomes a bit of the narrative. I mean, he's a great player. He's going to be an all-star, likely even an all-NBA player himself. But there's also, I guess, when you look at Utah, him and Rudy, you know, two players very, very different, very impactful, but both kind of get a little bit overlooked in their contributions during the regular season. So it's just the way it is. I mean, he's an exciting player. He had another one of his nice dunks down the lane there. You know, he can hit some big shots, but it's almost a bit like we've seen all this before. We need to see some real, you know, not flaming out in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what it is. People in the stream team saying he can be considered inefficient, which is fair. He goes through funks. Yeah. But that's like, there's a lot of guys like that. I mean, look at Lillard right now. Even Lillard, when he's killing it and dropping 50 per game at times over a stretch, he'll have those funks too, where shoots a bunch of threes, doesn't make a lot of them. I mean, I don't know. It's just he gets lost a little bit. But yeah, I think it's the unfortunately coming up short in the playoffs. Once he goes to a conference finals or a finals, Trey, then he's suddenly like catapulted right up there, back with the Bookers and back with, you know, I guess at this point, like your Levines and DeRozans and stuff like that.
Wow, you're putting Levine over Mitchell, and he hasn't even been to the playoffs. That's true. Crazy thing to say,
but we
though.
Talk
you're
about
kinda
him
right.
way more than Mitchell, yeah, this year.
Yeah, I think it's just because you're... Mitchell is almost a given with the Utah Jazz at this point. You're like, he's going to get you 25 points per game. The percentages are going to be good, but maybe not great. He can certainly raise his game in the playoffs, which we've seen, having a couple of 50-point games. But there just seems to be a steadiness to the Jazz and a sameness to the Jazz that it kind of just washes over you a little bit, no doubt. And the things that stick out are the things that stick out, right? Like Gobert getting toasted after a pump fake from the corner sticks out a lot more than, you know, another Donovan Mitchell crazy layup in the lane.
Yeah. Final winner of the weekend here. Just a little love to the San Antonio Spurs. They only played one game, but it was a big one lately. They withstood a Warriors rally for the 112-107 victory in the Bay. Fourth consecutive win for San Antonio. They have beat the Celtics and Wizards at home and then snapped double-digit home win streaks for the Blazers because they won in Portland. And then now in Golden State, they're beating the Dub. So, you know, they were wearing their Flint Tropics jerseys there on Saturday, and they got the victory. The Warriors came back a couple times, but they pulled it out in the end. You know, Derek White had a really good game. DeJounte Murray continues to impress. Keldon Johnson helped out. So, good win. And I saw a couple Spurs blogs wondering, you know, maybe we are going to get Popovich passing Lenny Wilkins and then Don Nelson's regular season win record by the end of this season. Because after that slow start, it was like, oh, are they going to win enough games? And it's not a given yet. Spurs have won 8 this year. Pop's at 1,318 regular season wins. Wilkins is at 1,332. Yeah. And then Nelson is at 1,335. So, you know, after they bounce back here with this little win streak, it's definitely in play again with San Antonio.
Yeah, and that was pretty much a bonus win against the Warriors. I think the Warriors had their huge emotional victory on Friday night against the Suns, ending the Suns streak, that it was a bit of a trap game, and because they were down big in that, and it took the Warriors a lot to get back into. I think they got back within a point or two there in the fourth quarter, but the Spurs hung on. So I honestly hope Pop does it, because if he gets within like two wins, does he just say, all right, I'm coming back next season for five games to try to do it, or he just says, all right, I had a chance and I didn't do it this season. But there's enough beatable teams that they should get. So what does he need? Is it...
well, what? If I have
17?
Right?
Lock it in.
Yeah. He's got I have him 14 behind, Wilkins, to tie him.
So 15 right, then, he should be able to squeak out 15 wins then for this season, so hopefully. Interesting.
Well, he needs more than 15 to pass Don Nelson. I was talking
about sorry.
Lenny Wilkins is right behind Don Nelson.
You know, weird things happen in the coaching game as well. Like the other night when Nate McMillan didn't coach, but the Hawks won, Nate McMillan got credited, I think, with his 600th career victory in a game. 700th, wasn't it? Oh, 700, was it? Yeah. So when Chris Gent took over. So that's the thing with Pop, is he actually will get credit for any win that the Spurs have this season. So, you know, if he misses a game or two and they get a win, they still count. That'd be hilarious if he broke the record in a game that he had to miss for some reason.
Hilarious. We will never stop talking. Okay, so that's who we have for winners of the NBA weekend. Let's hear from you guys. I know you're dropping some suggestions in the stream team. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll get to the losers. JD, what do you got, man?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Okay, I'll get us started here with losers of the NBA weekend, because it's a doozy. The Portland Trailblazers are a loser of the weekend. Boston destroyed Portland in a game this weekend, 145-117. And the Blazers couldn't, and if we're being honest, haven't all season long, figured out a single way to just impact the game defensively that matters. Because the Celtics shot 21 for 37 from three. That's 57%. The Celtics also scored 50 points in the paint. That's a decent amount. And, oh, we're not done. They had 29 free throw attempts, too. So the Blazers just got hammered every single way imaginable by the Boston Celtics. You know, from the outside, on the inside, and then fouling enough to put them to the line. 145 points, a record for an opponent in the 26-year history of the Moda Center there. And it was enough, Lili, to push Portland to 30th in the NBA, dead last now in defensive rating. I remember the days when the Portland Trailblazers were 23rd, 24th ranked defensively. I remember people in the stream team saying, oh, they're improved from last year. They're a better defensive team. Are they? No, they weren't, because they're smack dab last again. We also add on to this, of course, Trey on Friday's Drop podcast. You were telling us, well, they got to fire Neil O'Shea. That's step one to figuring out what the hell to do. Mere hours after you said that, the news broke. Yep, Neil O'Shea, he's out of here. You know, GM of the Blazers, president of basketball operations, he's out of there. So he is now gone. So now we wonder, wow, the blow up, TK, does it happen? And there's really two ways to go with this. Is it going to be Damian Lillard going to them saying, okay, I'm done here, try and move me? Or is it keeping him still, of course, happy, keep him in a Blazers uniform and trying to trade basically everybody else, be it Nurk, be it Covington, or the hot name that we talked about on Friday's Drop podcast, CJ McCollum. So, I mean, just when we thought it was bad, it gets even worse for the Blazers here. What's the move, Trey, if you are the new GM of this squad, the interim GM?
Well, you got to subscribe to theathletic.com/nodunks because there are a lot of great pieces about the end of the Portland Trail Blazers and the end of Neil Olshay's time here. So many, in fact, that I'm flipping through the various different ones and trying to remember which one that guarantees a rebuild is coming because they absolutely need it. It seems unlikely to me that the first move that the new interim GM would make would be to trade the franchise cornerstone, the face of the franchise in Damian Lillard. My guess is that you would try everything else before you try that. But obviously, as we learned in the profile from Shams Charania and Sam Amick today, Lillard ain't happy. And you can tell that I don't know if that's the reason that he's sitting out with this abdomen injury that he's had for years and hasn't sat out with before, except for a game here and there. But the team is clearly broken. There was no defensive intensity against the Celtics, and as we saw today, Lillard has apparently said that he would like to play with Ben Simmons. So to me, that is the trade that has made sense since the season ended last year. CJ McCollum yeah. for Ben Simmons. Like, Lillard, sure, the Sixers would love to get Damian Lillard, but so would the Blazers. They would love to keep Damian Lillard, and I think you're going to try Lillard and Simmons more so before trading Lillard away. So I don't know. I think McCollum is going to be traded. I wouldn't be surprised if Nurkic is traded as well. You just got to try something different because what's going on in Portland right now is not happening. Chauncey Billups is calling him out after every single game, which is not a great look in the first 25 games to be calling out the team five or six different times. They're not going to listen. It already looks like they're not listening. Basically, he said, our starters are shitty. Our bench plays hard. And I've never seen that before. So
Yeah.
A lot of changes are coming in Portland, and my guess is that we'll hear about a CJ McCollum trade in, what, maybe 9 days once you can get all these different players into deals.
Yeah, Lee, what do you think? If you're the Blazers, and again, a part of it has to do with what really Lillard is telling them, because it's like, I look at it like this, this whole rebuild thing. They have to do something because this team is garbage and, you know, they can't stop anybody. So changes have to be made. But is it like you've found the house and do you like just tear it all down? You just bulldoze it and we're going to rebuild again there on the property. We like where it's located. And that would be, I think, moving off of Damian Lillard when you're just knocking down the whole damn thing. Or is it, yeah, strip it down to its bare bones, but it's got good bones, you know, good foundation, walls are okay, but we're going to redo this whole thing. And that would be keeping Lillard and getting rid of really everybody else, like your main guys, like at least CJ, Nurk, and probably Covington if you can. Like, which route are you going?
Well, they've got very tradable assets, so they can get plenty in return. They can get good players, they can get draft picks if they want, because, you know, if Lillard becomes available, you know the price will be pretty high. Teams will try to get him. CJ has been a model professional throughout his career, you know, reliable, consistent scorer, but I also feel his time is probably done there in Portland. And I think, again, a guy who can go out and get you 20 points as easily as McCollum can, teams will want that. Teams want that scorer there out there, so they get him. And Nurkic hasn't had his best season. He's a big guy, but he can certainly fill a hole. And if you're even a team like the Charlotte Hornets, just theoretically speaking, could use a presence like him there because they're very, very thin in the middle. So I think they can get plenty in return if they decide this season's done and we need to move on. So that would be the first step. But I agree with what Trey's saying. You don't trade Lillard first. I think you see what else you can get there first. And then when it gets to that point, a bit like it was with Harden there in Houston, once they sort of moved away from Westbrook, it was like, okay, we may as well trade you now because you need to be in win now and we're not in that mode. So I think that's probably what is going to happen first. You see what Nurkic can get you. You see what McCollum can get you. Mm-hmm. And then you say to Dame, okay, do you want to still be a part of this? You know, do you still want to, you know, show your loyalty to the franchise? Because we don't mind if you now decide to move on. It's an ugly situation, though, there, because this game on Saturday night was more than just a defeat. This was humiliation, utter humiliation in that fourth quarter. Peyton Pritchard hit three or four in that fourth quarter when the game was well and truly over. And then on the last possession, he got another three chances because they were just getting the ball back. The bench was going so crazy on the side that Ime Udoka actually apologized to Chauncey Billups and said, okay, I'm sorry, that was a little bit too much. And, you know, again, we talk about the unwritten rules and stuff like that, and this was just Portland being so humiliated as well. Damian Lillard got up and walked up the sidelines as if to say, all right, someone foul, someone do something, stop this, because this is just beyond embarrassment. So, you know, at that point, that this team needs to change. Something needs to happen. And Chauncey Billups, I'm actually on his side in this sense, where he's like, you know, if you're not motivated to go out there and stop that humiliation, there's not much a coach can do. The coach doesn't need to call a timeout and say, guys, they're embarrassing you out there. The players need to have that pride. Kevin Colabro and Lamar Hurd also talked about that on the broadcast. Like, you've got some personal pride here. Like, you know, I'm not saying you go out and belt Peyton Pritchard, but don't let that team just humiliate you like that on your own floor when things are going badly. So this is obviously a lost season, I think, for Portland. I don't think they can really turn it around. Maybe they can hang on, of course, to the play-in, but as far as their long-term future, they need to start fresh, I think. And, you know, speaking of bones, his name was even rumored as a potential candidate to come on as the GM there for Portland.
Brent Barry.
Brent Barry, our friend. And, Yeah, Saturday night, I think, was the final, like, okay, this is beyond embarrassment, guys. We need to make some changes here.
Yeah, Heidi pointing out, I've seen this mentioned a couple of times here in the stream team. Now that Neil O'Shea is gone, it's much more likely that CJ McCollum is traded. Drafting CJ was his crowning achievement. There had been a lot of talk about he didn't want to move off him because, hey, that was the guy that he found. That was the needle in the haystack that he found in the draft. And he's like, it was going to be tough for him to ever move on. So we'll see if, either the interim, what's this guy's name? Joe Cronin? Is
Joe Cronin?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interim GM right now, or whoever eventually comes in, takes over that squad. If they'll move off CJ, I'm with you guys. I think it's going to be, let's try and move a McCollum. I mean, look, the Blazers should go get Ben Simmons. Now,
Yeah.
I don't think three first-round picks and three swaps on picks, I don't think they should go that far. I think it's going to take picks, of course, included with CJ McCollum. to get the Blazers to eventually, to get the Sixers to eventually do it. But that I would love to see try that backcourt, Lillard and Simmons. And the first step, you said it, Trey, or you were tweeting about it, is rumors, at least reports, that Lillard is intrigued by that. Hey, I would like to play alongside him. Let's do that. So maybe it happens in 10 days or up until the trade.
I don't know. Like, this trade has been rumored since the Olympics. Surely Ben or Damian Lillard back then was like, I would love to play with Ben Simmons. It's a new look for the team. It brings you a little defense. Maybe you play a little faster. Maybe Ben Simmons gets Damian Lillard easier looks. Like, McCollum is a good scorer. He can give you 20 a game. Like the people in the stream team are saying, 20 a game for five straight seasons. But that's it. That's literally all you're ever getting from McCollum. Maybe he'll give you two assists. He's not making things easier for Lillard, I don't think. So I don't know. I would at least like to see a perimeter trio of Lillard, Powell, and Simmons. It seems like they would be a better defensive team and a little bit tougher team as well.
All right, so the Blazers get an obvious loser of the NBA weekend, and I think we're going to be talking about the Portland Trail Blazers a whole lot more here over the next couple of weeks as we wrap up 2021 and then get closer to the trade deadline. Lee, let's go to you next, though. Who do you have? Who's on your list for loser of the NBA weekend?
My team is thankful that the Portland Trail Blazers had such a disaster because it kind of swept under the rug a little bit the bad weekend for the New York Knicks. Only one game, but that too was actually a complete disaster, a home loss, another pounding by the Knicks against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. This time came against the Denver Nuggets. This one was, they were down by 30 points at one point in this game. And honestly, it was probably even worse than that. The defense of the Knicks, non-existent. Denver shot 20 for 43 from three-point range. And this really is unlocking a disturbing pattern that's starting to unfold here for the Knicks. And they are getting torched by big men on the perimeter. Jokic on Saturday had 32 points, only three threes, but most of those wide open. Zeke Nnaji, five threes, career high 21 points. And if you look back at that game, Mike Breen saying on the broadcast early on, Nnaji wide open again. And this is in the first half. The Knicks just not defending the perimeter at all. And remember against the Bulls on Thursday night, Vooch had five threes in his 27 points. A lot of those kind of just pick and pop. Mitchell Robinson. Now, the defensive assignment from Thibs is, I guess, to pack the paint. But if you're giving guys wide open looks, they're hitting them right now. Miles Turner a few weeks ago hit seven against the New York Knicks. So we know that Thibs really does hang his hat on the defensive end. Last season, the Knicks had the fourth best defense. Right now, it is 23rd. And you just have to wonder what the next move is here from him because, you know, he's benched Kemba Walker and nothing has changed. That starting lineup is still a problem here for the Knicks. They're getting off to bad starts. So what move is he going to make here? But then there are these other problems. Knicks at home are just, I think there's way too much pressure on that team. They look so tight. I've mentioned this earlier in the season as well. Mm-hmm. It feels like if they don't score on two or three possessions in the first half or first quarter, it feels like they're just digging themselves a huge hole. And that was the case on Saturday against the Nuggets. This was a
So what do you want, Madison Square Garden? Knicks fans just not to show up. Just don't come to the game.
I don't know. But, you know, again, the expectations and the hype from that early, they were 5-1 at one point, the Knicks. And it was like, wow, okay, maybe this is a second season surge here. But right now they've collapsed. I think they've gone 6-11 since then and fallen in a hole. And again, after the game, you got to play defense. Our starters got to get the things together. It's like Chauncey Billups is saying the same thing about his Blazers. Tibbs is saying the same thing about his own team right now. They weren't really even close in this, and there's some problems there for the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson, I thought he was going to have a big impact on this team because they need his presence at both ends of the floor. His conditioning, to me, is the biggest problem right now. So that might be just a time thing. You just got to work your way back in. He had a foot problem, of course, coming into the season. But he's getting dragged a lot on those, again, guys sort of penetrating. He's going with that guy and just leaving someone on the perimeter, and they're getting wide open looks. So that is a bit of a concern here for the Knicks.
Yeah, Knicks 11-12, TK, after, like Lili said, that hot start. We were all convinced, wow, this is a carryover from last year. And they're struggling right now. And I'm convinced, like, a guy like Tibbs, he'd almost be happier if they were like 4-16, but they had a top five defense than being, you know, basically a 500 team with a defense in the lower third of the league. I'm sure that keeps him up at night.
Oh, absolutely. The Knicks traded defense for offense in the offseason, thinking if we just take a little bit of a step forward, we won't take that much of a step back. But unfortunately, they've taken a huge step back and they're playing from behind every single game, it feels like, with their starters just not being able to get stops. So the offense isn't good enough to make up for the starters' slow starts. It's very tough to see how the Knicks improve. I think Julius Randle can be a little bit better. He doesn't seem completely engaged defensively. He was awesome last year. I don't think they're taking away driving lanes. And like you're saying, Lee, Jokic was just incredible last night. He was hitting the threes, but he was also 8 of 9 inside. Like, Mitchell Robinson's big, Nerlens Noel is big, but they ain't Jokic. He's just a special player, so I give him a little bit of a pass there, but the Zeke Nnaji, that one's a problem. 5 threes from a guy just out of nowhere. You're going to lose a bunch of games, and I no longer think that Kevin Durant regrets not coming to the Knicks. I'll say it.
Possibly not. I don't know if you have the team stats in front of you, Lili, but I remember a storyline last year with the Knicks, and their like top five defense was, well, yeah, they're good, but teams, for whatever reason, can't hit open threes against them. Remember there was that whole narrative? Like, they just had, like, for whatever reason, teams just, like, were struggling at three-point shooting. And, you know, the number guys were like, that's going to come back to more normal numbers where teams are going to hit them at a more normal percentage from distance. It's not really anything the Knicks are doing because these guys are wide open. Has that, you know, ticked back up? I mean, you brought up the Nuggets game as a great example. Where are we at? You got it?
Well, they're sort of mid-table as far as three-point percentage, about 35%. But, you know, those percentages can sometimes be very, very slim. As far as three-pointers made, yeah, they're 25th in the league at 13.5 being made per game. But then again, OKC at 14.3 is the worst in the league. So it's not huge. But, again, I think numbers get skewed when this game was, again, largely over in the first half. I think Jokic didn't even play the fourth quarter. But any NBA player, if you just continue to give them open looks, and I was watching back here this morning at their three-pointers made, and it was like, wow. They you know, there was no adjustment at any point. And I think that's the concern here, that Tibbs is not like, okay, we've seen a little bit of this in the first half, so let's now switch it up a little bit. And Trey mentions, like Nikola Jokic is in the paint. He can score against anyone anyway. But you still just can't give up uncontested threes. That's the real problem here, because a guy like Zeke Nnaji comes in, and he burned them, and they can't afford to lose that. Again, this is the Nuggets team, remember. They're very shorthanded, missing their second and third best player, and really had a very, very comfortable wire-to-wire win.
All right, TK, who do you have for a loser of the weekend?
Ugly weekend for the Hawks. They lost on Friday to the 76ers in dramatic fashion. Up 5 with 3:38 left. Hawks didn't score the rest of the game. Ended up with 9 points in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, in the last 3:38, Seth Curry hit a three. Joel Embiid hit a couple of really clutch jumpers for the winner. Major, major perimeter problems for the Hawks in this one. Seth Curry and Tyrese Maxey combined for 29 points and on 11 of 24 shooting. Nice. Kevin Huerter and Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot went for 12 points on 4 of 11 shooting. But that's really just Kevin Huerter's stats, because it was a goose egg for TLC. Not great, but the Sixers, probably better than the Hawks, all things considered, so that's fine. The worst loss, though, yesterday, Sunday, against the Hornets. No LaMelo Ball, no Terry Rozier, no Mason Plumlee due to COVID protocols. Zero defense from the Atlanta Hawks in this one. They gave up 130 to the Hornets. 6 players in double digits for Charlotte. Miles Bridges had 32. Kelly Oubre had 28. I will say the Hornets are maybe the best team in the league at getting you to play their style. Like, nobody wants to play defense against the Hornets because they're just running around like crazy. But this was bad stuff from the Hawks. It was like one pump fake, one pass, wide open three. I don't know if I'm totally right on this, but I was deep in the NBA.com tracking data. And according to their tracking data, 1 3-point attempt for the Hornets was either tight or closely guarded. Everything else was open or wide open, and it felt like that. Like, these were not even contested shots. So obviously the Hornets shot a nice percentage. The Hawks, meanwhile, are now down to 26th on defense, and that to me is why they haven't been consistent this season. They've had a lot of players coming in and out of the lineup, but they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of guys who played playoff minutes for them last year. Nobody is giving it any sort of effort defensively, though, and that was clear against the Hornets. A depressing sort of loss for Atlanta. Both of them were bad. Like, when your offense dries up in one game and then your defense doesn't show up in the next game, it's like, what are we supposed to be good at here?
Yeah.
So, bad stuff for the Hawks.
Yeah, it could get worse, too. They got a weird schedule because they played here in Atlanta. That was like a 6 o'clock start, if I remember correctly, on yesterday, on Sunday. And they play tonight in Minnesota. So, you know, a bit of obviously a flight there in a back-to-back situation against a team in the Wolves that is playing with some energy, even in some of their defeats. So we'll see if the Hawks can bounce back tonight, Lely. But yeah, this is like the Knicks. I mean, expectations were high with these two teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, they win a playoff series. They win a couple playoff series in the Hawks case. And here they are, you know, 500 or under. That's,
yeah,
it's not, you know, the expectations are like, you got to be better than that.
And you look at the box score from yesterday. John Collins, 31-12. Capella, 8-14. Kevin Huerta with 28.7 threes. And then Trae Young had 25-15. And Gallinari had 17 off the bench. You think, oh, the Hawks must have won that game comfortably. And they lose to a team missing its best player and one of its impact scorers there in Terry Rozier. But yeah, Miles Bridges yesterday had no trouble scoring, getting his shots off. And this was a bad, bad loss here for the Hawks because they needed to get this. Okay, Friday night, you know, they lose Joel Embiid. You can deal with that one, but you have to take advantage of teams like the Hornets, and the Hawks could not do that last night. And this is one that, yeah, Nate McMillan's going to have to look at and think, offensively, we've got plenty of guys who can get it done, but it means nothing if at the other end, the other team is also just scoring easily.
Yeah, it's really weird to look at the Eastern Conference standings right now once you get past, you know, the fourth or fifth seed there, because you have the Celtics in the eighth slot tied with the Cavs at 13-11. Then the Sixers, who are 12-11. Then the Hawks, who are 500. Then the Knicks at the 11th spot right now at 11-12. Then the Raptors, who got a couple nice wins over the last couple days. They're sort of back in the mix here. And then the Pacers, who are 9-16 and who are also on a lot of people's short list as teams who should be looking to make a move and, you know, either separate Sabonis and Miles Turner or move off some other guys as well. I'm just hoping we're going to get a lot of activity here. I'm getting my hopes up as we now hit that December 15th date where a bunch of guys can be included in trades and we get closer to the deadlines. Like, it feels like there's so many teams that, like, could be trading, you know, a key player, a borderline or if not all-star type player, right? But maybe I'm just getting my hopes up. We're just going to be crushed.
Well, whatever happens here, we need a camera 24/7 on JD for when we hit him with the old emergency podcast.
Oh, JD. Yeah, and the old Slack channel.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy with that. Oh, JD's going to be off a little bit for the holiday season too. Definitely getting a trade over that break. Sorry, JD. In advance, you're gonna have to take all your equipment home, JD. Sorry, it's the rule.
We'll see.
No,
I think I'm gonna get schlecked on the case over here. And,
the schlecked emergency call.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Good. Well, yeah, I'm with you, Lely. I think we're gonna have an emergency podcast or two. I got one more loser of the weekend. Sorry, Lee. I gotta do it to you. Lee Ellis, loser of the weekend, showing up 40 minutes late to our No Dunks Christmas dinner on Friday night. What gives? 40 minutes?
Yeah.
And you're the one that lives the closest to the restaurant.
I think that was karma. I was celebrating when I saw the restaurant. I thought, oh, sweet, that's just up the road from my place. I'll maybe be first one
there.
You do, but look, a little combination of events happened. You know, babysitter was there. We were ready to go. Mm-hmm. Then my youngest gets a little bit of separation anxiety. So I had to give him an extra couple of minutes of snuggles and cuddles. And just as we sort of got past the point where he was too emotional, he came with a big hug, had the big, cheesy, greasy pizza hand and slapped it on my shoulder there.
And your nice dress shirt you had on?
Yeah, I reacted in a way that I didn't enjoy. I was just, you know... I was just like, Oscar. And then he got upset again and I felt like an asshole. And I'm like, I know it's not that big a deal. I went inside. I'm like, I'm going to have to get a new shirt. Then I'm like, what the hell? It's a little bit of pizza. Everyone knows what it's like sometimes. This
We're
is not like
Italian.
This is not the NBA on TNT awards. And anyway, so then I drove up. I knew the restaurant. I know where it is. And I was like, I actually know a couple of sneaky parking spots around there, so I know the area. I'll be fine. God. You get there, you can't park anywhere. It's like the tow-away zones everywhere you go. So I was driving around, doing a few loops. So by the time I got there, you guys were onto the third course of the meal already, and I was,
they had the dishes flying out the kitchen.
Yeah, that wasn't our doing. We were not saying, like, bring more food quickly because our one friend isn't here yet.
Yeah,
they were rushing us, man. It was not
But even in the car ride, you know, it's not like you can't just sort of
sever that cord of emotion as well. It sort of, it takes a little bit of time. Ooh. Just to sort of like...
Oh, yeah. Okay. You and Roxy came in frazzled. Yeah.
I've got to put that to the side and then bring in the emotion. You know, it's great to see everyone again. We haven't had a moment like that.
Yeah.
At least I think, look, there was actually a huge moment happened on that dinner. And it was kind of like when, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi sort of, you know, conceded defeat and Darth Vader chopped his head off. JD, let me choose the wine.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, wow, what a moment that was in my life. I was like, can I handle this? Am I ready for this responsibility, especially on a night like tonight? But
well, let's ask JD. How did he do?
Oh, he did great. He did great. Okay. I did have a couple of notes going in, though. You know, nothing sweet, because he does have a tendency to order a Moscato and that kind of thing.
Mm. Right. Mm.
So... Yeah, and no Shiraz. Shiraz is garbage, so that was it. And he killed it. And luckily, I don't think there was any of that, either of those on the menu anyways. It was all Italian wines. And you were like, I think that's when you sort of realized, you're way out of your depth, because you're like, it's all Italian. And I'm like, that's right.
Yeah,
but you killed it, Lee. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, an Italian restaurant, you think it's going to feature mostly Italian wines. I was surprised I didn't see any, like, you know, nothing, not a French, not an Argentinian, not a Spanish, nothing. But, you know, yeah, it was great.
I thought
it was
Tass literally said, like, after you had said that, it's all Italian wine. I thought Tass, like, that's a Spanish bottle right there.
I didn't see that. There was a lot to choose from, so...
okay.
Yeah. It was it was a good end to the night anyway. I came home and it was fine, but
good.
Yeah. Just a little bit like I say, I was celebrating too early. It's like, restaurant, fine, we'll be there. I know where to park. Don't worry, we'll get there in no time.
Right? The story while the reservation's in the air, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it was like bizarro night at that restaurant. Tass was there first. We were late for Tass. That was weird. And then Lee, who's usually very prompt, was coming in late. Oh, okay. Anyway, a fun time was had by all there on Friday night. All right, we got to take one more break. When we come back, we got Tweet of the Night, which is a great one, and pick 'em results from Friday night and tonight's picks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Have you ever had a pizza hand slapped on your American Giant hoodie?
Not the American Giant one, but yes, other hoodies for sure. You know, it's just like the moth to the flame. If you wear a nice something and you're like, I don't want this to be spoiled, one of your kids is just virtually going to come up and like slap it. Doesn't have to be pizza hand. It's just dirty hand, grubby hand. It's like, thanks, great. Now I can go out.
Brad here in the stream team saying, interesting information on how weather works there from Lee.
Starts off cold, gets warmer, goes back to cold.
Yeah.
Hey, just back with to me watching the cats too. She had two cats. When I would go in, and I'd go in like once or twice a day, like feed them in the morning and sometimes feed them at night, but like I never saw the other cat.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, like I was like, the cat's here, right?
You gotta check the litter box, buddy.
I'm always seeing the one cat. Okay, there's Minnie. I see Minnie. Raymond, nowhere to be found. I don't know if Raymond is still here. So
Raymond.
I texted her. I was like, I assume the cat's still here. It's not. I just wanted to, like, I had to let her know if this isn't on me. Okay, the cat is like, I'm trying to find the cat. I can't find the cat. But just so you know, if you come back and that cat's not there, I warned you. But it was, I guess Raymond was there as soon as I came home. Cats are weird, though, man.
Cats are weird.
The weirdest.
I had a cat stop by to watch the Formula One race yesterday. Laura, today, I'm hanging out in the garage all day and watching Formula One. We got a nice neighborhood cat around. We call it Muffin. So, you know, everybody was inside after we hung up the lights on the house. Muffin stopped on by to see the podium celebrations. So, I don't know who this cat belongs to, but I love a neighborhood cat that'll just stop by the paddock, say hello.
Do you think that cat was upset you weren't watching the Indy 500 where they drink milk to celebrate?
Yeah, that cat was
probably pissed. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Oh, I think we got a great Tweet of the Night here. It comes by way of our good friend, @William_Lou. He tweeted, "Precious Achua, discovering bag milk is so funny," and then included the clip. So let's have a watch.
Yo. This is funny. That's what you... So how do you do it? You drop the bag inside? Oh, snap. It doesn't fully go in?
Hold it up in here, like bang on the counter a few times.
Really? It's not gonna break? I feel like it's gonna break. How do I open a bag? A scissors or something?
So there's in your fridge, there's a milk bag cutter?
No! That's a... I didn't even see that. Who put this here? This is like sophisticated cutters, you know? Yeah. So what do you do with these ones? You just wrap them back up like bread? Oh, this got to be some type of rocket science, bro. Yeah.
So there it is, Precious Achua trying to figure out Canadians and their bagged milk and the process that you have to go through. Like, got to have the container TK and the little cutter. You can just use scissors. You don't have to use that little slicer thing. Yeah. And then my favorite part, I think, of that whole clip, him going, "Well, what do I do with these other bags?" And it's like bread. I got to wrap them up. Here's a little tip for you, Precious, and anybody that finds their way up into Canada with the bagged milk. Take that bag, spin it. Just spin it like crazy.
The extra bag, you mean? Lot...
Yeah, the extra bag. Okay. Yeah, the extra bag. And then spin it, and then it makes it a lot easier to put that dumb little plastic clip on it to close it. But Trey, were you like Precious the first time you made your way up into Toronto, and you were like, "What? Bagged milk? This is an actual thing?"
Yeah, I definitely came around to bagged milk by the time we left, but the start is very precarious because, as he was saying with that first pour, the way the bag sticks over the top of the container, too floppy, honestly. Like, why do they make the bags taller than the container? Because once you get past, like, once your milk level is lower than the top of the plastic, easy. You're smooth sailing milk-wise there, but that first one, you're like, you're thinking you're going to pour it all over the table.
You have to do this like this slick little move Lee, I remember doing where you hold the handle and you sort of grab the back of the bag with your two fingers to sort of like, so like Trey's saying, it doesn't all like topple out because it is a little top heavy. Take some practice though.
Oh, yeah, and you spill so much of it at the start while you're figuring it all out. And you are like, what the hell? What do they do this for in Canada? Why don't they just do normal milk? But then you do figure it out. And you're like, okay, it's fine. But there's a lot of that gross, you know, smelly milk spill that you have to clean up at the start that questions whether or not you need to have it that way. But, you know, once you get used to it, it's fine. But it's also, you know, like saying, when he's putting it into the thing, it's like, it feels like this is just a little bit too big, the bag, and this is a little bit too small. Yeah. Like, you would think they would maybe have figured something out. But obviously, once you open it and pour some out, then it does slot in there nicely. But
Right.
Yeah.
You also let a little air out of the bag, of course, once you, you slice it there, so it goes, sucks down better. JD, are you pumped to go home to Canada here in a couple weeks to drink some bagged milk? Or do you hate it?
I can't wait. I love bagged milk because, well, it's cool, for one thing, and it's way better on the environment, like way, way better than jugs and cartons, like significantly. From production to transportation to even getting rid of them and recycling them and stuff. So, but only 7% of Canadians use the bagged milk. And I think Precious was, I think he had a legit point. He's like, what do I do with the rest of this milk? Like, and I think that's part of the problem, right? Like it's, they only sell it in 4-liter batches, right? So they have to start selling it single bags at the grocery store. That's my what I'm advocating, which they do in Europe. Like 1 liter. Yeah. So
is one bag is 1 liter, right?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You,
yeah,
they
yeah.
come in four. You get four there, and they get shipped in crates, if I remember from working in a convenience store, like those plastic milk crates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
People are just showing up to the stream team wondering what the hell is going on and why are we talking about milk for so much. Yeah, bagged milk, it is a thing in parts of Canada, like JD said.
Yeah, you know, not out west, I don't think. But
yeah, so
cool
there you go.
Story, bro. Mm.
Very, very cool story. Very funny clip there by way of at William Liu, Precious Achua, figuring out bagged milk. Great, great stuff. Okay, pick 'em results from Friday night. Suns-Warriors game. Warriors were favored by 6.5. We talked about it on Friday's show. We're like, wow, that's a pretty big line for the Warriors to be favored by that much at home after losing to the Suns earlier in the week and the Suns on an 18-game win streak. But Vegas knows what they're doing. Oh, my goodness. And so they got the victory. The Warriors did. This, of course, brought to you by BetMGM. So that's a loss. For me, that's a loss for Lee. That's a win for Trey. He's 3-0. Task goes to 2-1. Tonight's game, guys, OKC at Detroit. Oh, yeah. We're talking Thunder Pistons here. This was Tass's doing in picking this game. So let's see who everybody's going with. We got one guy, TK, going with the Thunder, trying to bounce back from that 73-point loss last week. Right? They haven't played since then.
No.
They said we're going to regroup and get back at it Monday. Mm. It's Monday.
Yeah.
Let's go, Thunder.
So there you go. Trey's taking the Thunder to keep it close enough. Everybody else is taking the Pistons to win by 5 or more points. Good luck. Good luck to you. Email your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription so you can read all these great articles about the Blazers blowing it up from Quick and Shams and Sam Amick. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks for that subscription so they know that we sent you.
A
we'll
new
back
one
tomorrow.
Dropped while we were recording, Skeets. John Hollinger has a Portland Trail Blazers breakdown as well. So, yeah, get your subscriptions up, y'all.
All right.
Go to TheAthletic.com. Unless you're a Blazers fan, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. We're back tomorrow morning. Lots of games on tonight, so we'll be breaking down as many of those as possible live at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then on Tuesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, here on No Dunks, we got a brand new No Breaks F1 podcast with TK and Graydon. So lots coming at you tomorrow. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live here. Shout out to the pod squad for listening later. We love all of y'all. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, as Ryan says, Skeets is not a cat guy, but everybody loves Raymond.
Embrace the day, people.
Stay, ooh, every day, and I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one I've waited for. It's happened already. It's gonna be groovy.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.